Why is it when we decide to take a vacation or maybe a slight getaway, and certainly not from church at all, but a summer getaway, why is it when sometimes the best made plans that we set out just seem to go awry? Why is that? And when we come back home, we sometimes need a vacation from our vacation. Now, that's sort of the backdrop of what has happened in our gospel reading this morning to Jesus and his disciples. They decide to have a getaway, and they get into a boat, and they go across the opposite shore of the Sea of Galilee to a sort of known non-Jewish city called Gezara, where the Gezerines all live. Is mostly inhabited by Romans. I could imagine what Jesus was thinking. We can be safe there, right? And as soon as they land on shore and they get out of the boat, the most incredible thing happened. Best made plans gone awry. They're confronted by this tormented man without a stitch of clothing on, yelling at them at the top of his lungs. So much for Jesus' getaway. Now, we don't know exactly what tormented this man. The gospel doesn't reveal any of this. It does describe that he was possessed by demons. But let's just say, for all practical purposes, let's just say that this person suffered from mental illness. Now, in the first century thinking, there were people who suffered from mental illness just like people suffer today. And of course, in first century Palestine, there were no professionals to help people who suffered from mental illness in such extreme situations. They were mostly thought to be demon-possessed. Now, I know we deal with many different principalities in this world. But let's just say, for the course of this gospel, this man suffered and was tormented in such an extreme way that he was exiled and left to live at his own mercy. What a terrible way to have to live. And let me be clear about this. Mental illness is not a sin. Mental illness is not a sin. The sin are consequences that you and I choose on our own to make, whether wrongful actions or bad decisions, as the Bible describes, that we choose to carry our own life away from the love of God, from the way that God has prescribed for us to live. And when we do, we commit sin. As Romans chapter 3, verse 23 reminds us, for we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This is our human condition. So what I believe the backdrop of this gospel reading can reveal to us today is how Jesus shows up in all areas of our life. When everything seems to be going our way and we are happy, also Jesus shows up in the ways when we choose on our own to separate ourselves away from the love of God and commit sin. Jesus shows up there too. So in your life story, in the story of you, who do you say that Jesus is? And, you know, we could say, well, Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is the Son of God. And those statements are absolutely true. But statements like these really don't get to the question that I just posed. Who is Jesus to you? Because the reason I ask that question is that there will come a day and time when we will actually confront Jesus face to face. As the Bible is very clear on this, imagine what that encounter face to face with Jesus will be like for you. Would you be happy? Would you be sad? Would you be shocked? Would you be in awe? Jesus is our Savior, yet Jesus is also our judge, our life judge. As 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 reminds us, for all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive recompense for what has been done in the body, whether good or evil. And imagine if Jesus were suddenly standing before you, and here's kind of the deal about worship. God bless you. In spirit, Jesus is present before us this very moment. Jesus is always present before us. You know, in church, we like to be joyful. Worship is the joy of the Lord. And we like it where it's comfortable and the air conditioner system is just right and the music is just right and everything seems to be going our way. We like that. And let me say, Jesus is in all of that as well. But he's so much more, because Jesus is our judge. So there's three important truths that I want us to pull from this gospel reading this morning. And when we confront Jesus, whether it is in spirit and in truth, or in an actual presence of being face to face before him, when we are confronted with Jesus, all of who we are is fully exposed before him. All of what is good and blessed about us, as well as all that is sinful about us, our complete self are exposed before him. And Jesus, in God's unconditional love, he sees us for who we are, fully exposed before him. Because only in the power of God's unconditional love can he heal us of what is not good about us. Love overpowers evil. Love is the most powerful force in the universe. Love created the universe. And when we are exposed before him, God in Jesus confronts us first and foremost in love. Now, in our gospel reading, when Jesus got to the opposite shore of the Gerasene area, and we're near the city, the tormented man knew Jesus for who he was as he confronted Jesus in anger. And that word Gerasene is used to translate as one who fights, one who fights. And when he was confronted by Jesus, he was exposed for all of who he was, including his sin. And in verse 28, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." Only God, through Jesus, knows who we are and can set us free, because he is our judge and he is our Savior. Secondly, verse 30, when Jesus asked the tormented man what was his name, the man said his name was Legion, Now, when Jesus exposes all of who we are, including our sins, when Jesus confronts us, he, through the power of the Holy Spirit, convicts us of what is sinful about us. Jesus reveals that what is wrong and has separated ourselves away from God's love. And what's more, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, helps others around us, you know, those who love us, to also convict and reveal and expose that which is not right about us. And when we're confronted in such a way, we have a choice to make, right? We can choose to either accept God's love given to us through the Holy Spirit and be healed and be forgiven, or we can simply remain angry at our exposure. The choice is ours. You know, when there's ever an intervention that takes place, right, it is always effectively carried out in love. That's the only way it works. And this is how God's exposure in Jesus works with us, in spirit and in truth, as well as that one day when we have that physical encounter with him. Love knows no bounds. Only anger presents boundaries, right? How about you? Do you choose to be bounded or set free? You know, if there's one message of hope that we need to be sharing with the world around us, outside the comfort zones of our church, is that people can have their sins forgiven by Jesus and be set free. Because this is our life story, from bad to good. And I think a lot of people probably think that the greatest problems that we're going to encounter in life are financial matters or maybe even health concerns. And these are very real issues. But let me tell you, the greatest consequence that any of us will face in life is our sin. You might be rich. You might be filthy rich. Maybe you hit the lotto last night. Did anybody do that? Never hurts to ask. You might be the epitome of good health. But if you are not working through your sins, then you are spiritually dead. Yet Jesus died for our sins upon the cross. He took our sins upon himself. By his wounds, we are what? Healed. You know, only real forgiveness brings a peace that surpasses all human understanding and fulfills our greatest desire in life. So can you name the sin that is within you? Can you allow Jesus working through the Holy Spirit to convict you of that sin? But better yet, can you allow Jesus working through the Holy Spirit to release you of it? Amen. Knowing and living in the power of God's righteousness, or do you just want to remain angry? Third truth, verse 38. The man from whom the demon had gone begged Jesus that he might be with him. And once the man who was healed, who was tormented, he wanted, once he was healed, he wanted to become Jesus' disciple. And God in Jesus certainly does not want us to keep this wonderful gift of his grace simply to ourselves. He wants us in faith to share with our kids, with our family, with our friends, even strangers, the wonderful things that God has done and continues to do for us. God wants us to minister to all. And we minister to those around us by sharing our own life experience so that others may come to know Jesus also in their life. So who is Jesus to you? Is he your Lord and Savior and your judge? Ask him into your heart. Seek him out in all that you do. Open yourself to the power of his Holy Spirit love and come to know him for who he truly is as you release and surrender any anger that you may have. We do this by opening our hearts to God's love, and we become set free. Amen.